Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long once more to be,
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy,
they bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word, Father, we're seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us greater knowledge of this, your word, and the truth, Father, and help us to strengthen our faith so that we can walk always upright and in accordance with your will and your way and not ours. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we got two of them back. Now, I don't know what happened to the others. He's supposed to have been here. And you cut it off of close. I got to pick on somebody. And you're bigger than I am, so I figure I can pick on you safely. So I'm going to be actually speaking this evening from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and also I'll probably be touching upon a few verses in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Because most people don't know and understand really what being a child of God really is and what it takes to become one, according to God's word and not man's word. Man's word makes it easy, but that don't work with God. All that'll do is get you a seat in hell. I don't want that seat, because I know where that seat's going to end up. And I don't want that one either. Especially that one. But very few knows what it really means to be a born-again child of God. And that's what I'm going to be speaking to you about this evening. I know, Brother Dennis, you do understand most of it. But still, it don't hurt any of us to be reminded. We have the churches out there today that is telling you, all you have to do is go to the altar and tell Jesus that you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you. Right then, you're saved. No. You're just getting started. In fact, that's just the first step. And then only if you're sincere and do it in honesty, which most don't. But then they'll tell you, well, now, you've done that, and you've got to be baptized. That's true. So I'm going to take you out here. I'm going to bring you down front. I got me a little pan of water over here. I'm going to stick my fingers in there and sprinkle a few drops of water on your head. And I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I haven't baptized you at all. All I've done is called you up there, poured water on you. Done you no good whatsoever. But once you do fulfill those two the right way, once you do repent, that word repent, most don't know what the word repent, the definition of that word is. They think it's just to tell the Lord you're a sinner. That's not all it means. That word repent means to turn away. You turn away from your sin. You don't go back and commit that sin anymore. You don't commit any sin that you know is a sin. Most of the churches tell you, well, you can't live your life without it. Everybody has got sin. Not if you're a child of God. Everybody had sin, yes. We're born in sin. We walk in sin until we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. After that, we leave sin. And we're not to dwell in it. Now, just so you know, this ain't my words. It's God's words. That's what this third chapter is on. Because you see, your next step for salvation is being born again. That's when you walk in salvation. That's when you are sanctified. That's when you are justified. That's when you have been set aside for the work of Almighty God. And you are to everyone. It's not just the minister and the deacons that are to walk that way. It is for every child of God. And without it, without being born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that's his word, not mine. As you'll see here in a few minutes. Now with the third chapter of the Gospel of John, starting here with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot do what? He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, in the Bible, we find when it's talking and saying man, it means mankind, both men and ladies. You're included in that. He's talking about mankind. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He tells them not to marvel at it, just do it. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whether it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Here he is, a man of leadership of Israel. You see, he didn't have this understanding. Because until we become that born-again child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't get the full understanding of God's Word. And His Word tells us that also. The Holy Spirit is what brings the understanding to each one of us. And He gives it to us as we need it. And as we come together, as we sit and congregate as we're doing here now in His Word. And through prayer and the love of each other and the love of mankind, we can obtain the things that the Word of God tells us that we can obtain. You say, oh, Pastor, no, you can't really say that's true. Yes, I can. Because I am living actual proof of it. No, you're just making yourself be something. No. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, I am nothing. I'm flesh lost without Jesus. On my way to hell in a lake of fire that's going to burn forever, and I've got no way out of it. And not for a day or two, but for eternity. Well, I don't know how many of you have been burnt, but if you have been burnt, even in the kitchen, by far, it ain't very pleasant, is it? Got a lot of pain. A lot of pain to it. I know I've been burnt that way, too. And I give up for dead 3 times. Doctors. Gave up for dead 3 times. 3rd time, gave me 2 days to live. Sent me home from the hospital. Told my family, take him home, let him die at home. He'll be better satisfied. He's only going to live a couple of days at the most. I couldn't even turn over by myself. I had to be rolled in a sheet. They put me to bed. My wife asked me, she said, Hun, do you want a cup of coffee? Because I am a coffee drinker, which you know, Dennis. You see me with it. I told her, I said, yeah, I'd like to have a cup of coffee. Length of time it took her to fix a cup of coffee with the water already hot. No angel of death walked in that room, got me by the hand, and left with me. I left out of that room looking down on my body. I stood before the judgment seat of Almighty God. I heard my Savior speak from behind me. I didn't see him, but I could hear him as he spoke. I couldn't understand anything he said, but when he stopped, the figure holding me turned with me. We started away from the throne. We'd taken just a few steps, and a voice from the throne spoke, said, you've got 1 year. I took it like man takes it. That's what happens when man takes things. I took it like man. I've got to get things right, because in a year I'm going to die. So I better get everything right. That wasn't what he meant. I didn't find out until that year later. And I was sitting in my living room. I'd been in the ministry at that time almost a year. Because the day that happened to me, when that voice spoke and told me I have a year, there was no trip back through that valley or anything. Immediately I was back in my body. It was perfectly healed. Hour and a half after I'd been put in bed, I was sitting in the living room talking to my mother and dad. The next morning at 7 o'clock, I was on a ladder painting the doctor's house to send me home to die. He seen me come out and he said, "You can't do this." I told him, I said, "I'm all right." "You can't do this. You keep this up, you're going to be dead before dinner time." I told him, I said, "There's one thing about it, Doc. If I am, it won't be flat on my back." He said, "Well, just what makes you think you can do this?" I didn't know any better, so I told him. "You don't give us doctors credit for nothing, do you?" I said, "Oh, yes. I'm glad you was there when I needed you. But you done all for me you could do." He said, "Yeah, and if you keep this up, you're going to be dead before dinner." I told him, I said, "Well, maybe so. But like I said, if I do, it won't be flat on my back." I finished painting his house. You can call that doctor today. He's chief of staff at the community hospital in Newport Richey, Florida, Dr. Clark. You can tell him you know me, and he'll tell you. "Why that little man's alive, I don't know." "Yes, he does," I told him. "All it does made him mad. And God's been taking care of me ever since." He lets me stay here until September the 9th. I'll be 88 years old. And most of the young people can't keep up with me, and you know that, James. And most of them don't want to. God will take care of you, but you've got to be His. You've got to do what He calls you to do and when He calls you. You don't wait. If He was to come to Dennis tonight and say, "Dennis, this neighbor of yours down here, you need to go down and lay your hands on him and pray for him to be healed, and it'll be done." Dennis don't say, "Well, yes, Lord, I'll go, but now it'll have to be a Tuesday." Uh-uh. No, that don't work. "Well, no, Pastor, how do you know that won't work?" "Because, you see, I tried that once, too. It wasn't over healing. But he was moving me from one place to put me in another church. He come to me in a dream. Gave me a dream, showed me the church. Even gave me the route to get to the church. Told me, said, 'Go, they're looking for a pastor.' I said, 'Yes, Lord, I'll go.' But I also had a business to run at that time. It took me a week. But I got in the car a week later, and I drove. I took the ride. He had showed me right up to the front door of the church. Lady lived across the street from the church, seen me pull in the drive, come over to see what I was looking for. And I told her, I said, 'Well, I heard you were looking for a pastor. I was here to talk to you about it.' She said, 'We've done got one.' You see, he replaced me because I didn't go when he told me to go. When he tells you to do something, you don't wait. You do it when he tells you to do it. If he wants you to wait, he'll tell you. That woman that day, I was telling you about, she's in a coma for four months. 4 months in a coma. Every Sunday, the ladies from her church would come in and pray and all together around her bed and pray and all. They always come in right when I was taking care of this lady. And I'd step out in the hall. One day one of them asked me, said, 'We know that you're a minister. Why don't you ever stay in and pray with us?' I said, 'Because the Lord hadn't told me to.' She looked at me like I had two heads. Went on a couple of weeks. Sunday came around. They came in, they had their prayer. I come out of the hall. And they were standing out in the hall talking. I went in to finish taking care of her. And the Lord said, now is her time. He said, now is her time. I walked up the side of the bed, laid my hands on the rail. I spoke to her and I said, honey, you're going to have to tell me what you want me to do. Nothing happened. I spoke it the second time. The only thing that happened was one of the ladies heard me out in the hall, stuck her head right door and said, you know she can't hear you. I showed she didn't know anything about a coma because they can hear. They just can't answer. I didn't say anything. Just the third time, I looked at her and I said, hon, you're going to have to tell me what you want me to do. Her hand started up off the bed, come up and laid down on top of mine. Her eyes opened up. She looked up at me and she said, pray for me. I said, yes, now I can. The next morning, she was across the street in rehab, working with her legs to get strength back because she hadn't moved them in 4 months. When I left out of Newport Richey, Florida, and quit that job there in the hospital, she was up just as healthy as she could be and going strong. You see, I moved in when God told me to. I learned when I made that trip to go from Florida to Tennessee for that church he told me to go to and found out I was too late because I'd waited. I learned then, when God says move, move. Don't wait. Do it then. Or at least start. And if he wants you to wait, he'll let you know. God will give you every tool you need to do anything he sends you to do. If it's for healing, he's gave you that gift of healing for that purpose. So go use it. He gave gifts to the church, but the church is not using them . Oh, now he didn't give them to all the churches. Yes, he did. Yeah, let's just go see. Let's go here to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12. We start here with 26th verse. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You see, when you become that born again child of God, you have become a member of the family of Almighty God. And you are a brother or a sister to the Lord Jesus Christ, according to God's word. And God has set some in the church. Here's what he put in. First, apostles. How many churches around here do you know who's got an apostle in them? Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. What? Miracles? Oh, no. That all died when the apostles died. That's what I was taught most of my life. Then gifts of healing. Uh-oh. No, that died too. Not according to God's word here, it didn't. Helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Most people want to ridicule speaking in tongues. But if you're a born-again child of God and filled with the Holy Spirit, you will speak the tongues. Because that is the language of God and the angels, and you will use it. But he also gives us the right way to use them and the wrong way. And most of the churches that do teach speaking in tongues use them the wrong way. They don't use them like they're told to use them. You go into their churches and you'll see them jumping up all over the congregation. This is speaking tongues, that is speaking tongues, this is speaking tongues. Two or three or four or five of them at the same time. Interrupting the preacher while he's preaching. Word says you don't do that. You find that in the 14th chapter of the same book, 1 Corinthians. And he tells you in it. Let's just see. I don't want you to think I'm telling you anything that's not in the Word of God. Now, we'll start here with verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course. And let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. You see, tongues are not really a gift to us to use in the church. Most churches use it as a show, and that's not to be. Tongues are given to you and I when we go to God in prayer. We get off to ourselves where it's quiet, no one else around, and we get in sincerity. We're there to communicate with God, and we know that we're supposed to be praying, and we don't really think of what to pray about. The Holy Spirit will take over and he will pray for you, but he'll do it in tongues. You may not know what he said for a little while until God gives you an answer. But he will give you an answer. You mean you believe in tongues? Oh, yes. I believe in tongues. I speak in tongues. But I do it between me and God. You've never heard me use them in this church. Because for one, I can't interpret them. And I usually ain't got nobody else that's got that gift either. So he told me to keep quiet in the church. They're gifts just for self-edification. That's what they're for. For self-edification. But we're getting back now to this born again deal. Verse 7 says, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You see, it takes that Holy Spirit in order to give you the understanding of what God is speaking to you when you pick up this word and you go to read it. I've been in the ministry now 55 years. I was telling you about when I was sent home to die and all. God called me at that time into the ministry. 2 weeks from that time. 2 weeks is all he gave me. From that time, I was 1,200 miles away from home in a revival that was supposed to last a week. And once it got going, I couldn't get it closed. I was there 30 days. I had to call my wife at home back in Florida and get her to wire me some money. But I'd spend all I had with me. I was 30 days getting that 1 week revival over with. And I'm still learning today. Every time I pick this Bible up, I learn something new. I get a greater understanding. And I may have read that same verse 40 times. Still yet, I'll get something new from it. That God is adding it somewhere else and helping me to understand something else that he's wanting me to know as he uses me. Y'all hear me pray here in my prayer closing. I'll ask him, Lord God, use me. Use me greatly, Father, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want done. I'm not in this for money. I don't take a cent out of the church for pay. Never have. Out of 55 years of ministry, you know how much money I have actually taken? Actually, because I was a preacher, $26 one time. But I was leaving this church. God was moving me from it to another church. I was leaving the church in Georgia, and God was bringing me back to Kentucky. And the church took up a love offering because they knew I wouldn't accept it any other way. They knew I couldn't turn down a love offering. They took it up as a love offering. And when I finished that last service that night, they brought it up and gave it to me. In 55 years. I'm here because God put me here. I'm here because he takes care of me. I'm here because one day I'm going to stand before him and I'm going to hear him say, good and well done, thy faithful servant, enter into thy rest. And I'm not going to have to hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. But we got a lot of them behind these podiums today that's what they're going to hear. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Because they're not teaching the word of Almighty God. If you take everything that is being preached today in these denominational churches and you look in the Bible and you see where it's contradicting things, and if you take it out as man's doing it, you find you've got very little of the New Testament left. Very little of it. Think about it. That's what they're doing. I'm going to baptize you, so I'm going to take you out of here and I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So I'm going to take you down in the water and I'm going to take you into our dry sand and bring you out of wet. What did I do for you? Nothing. Only got you wet. You see, from the day of Pentecost, that's when the church age began. Peter come out and preached the greatest sermon recorded in the Bible that day. And there were 3,000. They asked him, what must we do? And he told them. He told them exactly what to do. And let's see what he told them. We find that in Acts 2:38. Well, let's start with 37, where they asked him. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How was they to be baptized? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Yes, I know it's in the last few verses of the last chapter of Matthew's where Jesus was sending his disciples out into the world to preach the gospel. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But that was because they were still under the law. He had not yet paid for them. But once he paid for them, we go through him. He is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. We can't go around him, under him, or over him. We have to go through him. His words, not mine. That's his words. But now he's told us that we got to be born again. So, he says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's letting them know here about his death. If you remember, as we went through the Old Testament, there was a time the people had started going against things they shouldn't have been going against. And God put serpents among them. And when they were bit, they died. Serpents were poisoned. He had Moses to make a brass serpent and put it up on a pole. And when they'd look upon that serpent, if they got bit, they'd be healed. They wouldn't die. And that's what he's talking about here. He was using that serpent for the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's where we have to look to. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. And he's given us his word. He's told us what to do. He's told us how to do it. Most don't want to do it that way. They want to make their own ways and do things their own way. And that's why so many of them's telling you today, you can't live your life without sin in it. Well, you keep on living your life with sin in it, and when you step out of this life into the next, you're going to find your seat in hell. End up in that lake of fire. Exactly. Oh, no, you know, we've always been taught you, everybody's just got to sin. No, you don't. We'll see here in just a minute. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, God wants us to have everlasting life. He wants everyone born on this earth to be able to make heaven their home. He gave us the road map to get there. And he gives us the tools to use to get there. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's why it's so hard to get the people today in this nation into the church, because they don't want to hear the truth of God's word. They want the ways of this world out here. But the ways of this world will get you in that bad place. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now we have found where he has told us that every man has to be born again. That means every person born on this earth has to be born again. if he's going to make heaven his home. So we know now that that has to be done. Why? Why does that have to be done? Well, let's go back here and see. We're going to go to 1 John now. And we'll go to 1 John, 3rd chapter. But before I get to the 3rd chapter, I'm going to give you a little preliminary so you can see and talk about it more than once. In the 2nd chapter, starting with the 3rd verse, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God. And here's that word that most churches today hate, because they'll tell you there ain't none, that there never was any except one, and that was Jesus. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You become complete. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. He's telling you that you can walk just like Jesus walked here on this earth. You can't do it on your own, but you do it when you become that born-again child of God, because you now have the same spirit living in you that Jesus had while he was here on this earth. You've got Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit, and you've got God the Father all living in you. You've got the whole deity of the Godhead living in you. His word, not mine. Now, we come on over here to chapter 3. And we're going to start here with verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Oh, you can't be pure. You can't be perfect. You can't be pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Uh-oh. He just told me I couldn't sin. So I abide in him, and he's in me. He says, I sin not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. And that's what a lot of them out here today are doing. And it's a sad, sad thing, especially in our churches, to where they are deceiving people so bad and telling them you can't live without sin in your life. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We know that's why he died. He was destroying the works of the devil out here for you and I, and those that will keep his commandments and walk in his word and accept him. How are we going to come down to what really happened when you got born again? And all these people that tell you they're born again, lead them to this verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. That's what happened to you when you got born again, when that Holy Spirit moved inside you. That's when you become saved. You started walking on the road to salvation, and you put on that child of the living God, and you become a saint. You know, growing up, I can remember them telling me, just who do you think you are? You think you're a saint? They meant it to put you down. They didn't know and understand that they was actually calling you the truth. Because if you are a born again child of God, that's what you are. Now, he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifested. You're held tight. And the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And then it goes on in to tell us about the love of mankind and how we are to walk through this life. That's what happens when you're born again. And that Holy Spirit comes in at that time. And they have all moved in. You have been and become a member of God's family. And you are to walk in his word. You are to take his word, bring it into your life. And through that, you live his word, making it a living word. So that those that see you can use you as an example. Because Dennis, you know, just like I do, the moment someone gets the idea that you're a child of God, they start watching you right then. That very moment. They're just waiting for you to fall, to do something you ain't supposed to do. They'll talk about you. They'll talk against you. They'll lie to you. They'll lie on you. And they'll tell lies about you. And they'll do everything they can do to run your life down so others won't follow you. And that is a fact. I'm talked about all the time. I've got one that calls me up about 3 times a week. It's usually somewhere between 10:30 and 11:30 when she calls me. And she'll say, well, Pastor, you still a mean old man? Yep. Are you still a mean old woman? Yep, I'm going to stay one too. You know who I'm talking about. And I get that about 3 times a week. Pastor, you still a mean old man? Because that's what most look at me as being. Because I don't walk around no subject. I don't walk around no one. I'm going to give it to you just like it's in the Word of God. You know, we're told that this is not given to you and I for any private interpretation. And actually, you'll find that in 2 Peter. Well, let's just go over and get it while we're at it. It won't be long. I've got to close out here. Second Peter chapter 1. Okay, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. We're not to interpret this word. and make it say what we want it to say. Wouldn't give to us for that. We're to live according to what it says, not what I want it to say. But that's what a lot of them are doing today. They're taking away from it and adding to it, and they'll get a verse here and a verse there and a verse over here. They'll twist and turn and take away and add to it till they get it to say what they want it to say. And that's why I leave everything in a setting. That's why I don't just read the verse itself. I always go before it and one or two past it to make sure it's in the setting. Because you see, a lot of it they use is actually, and they use wrongly, is actually in the Bible. When they tell you there's none perfect, no, not one, it's in the Bible. They just didn't read the rest of it. He was talking about us before we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're walking without him. After you come to him, then you turn away from all of that. And you begin to walk in a new light. And once you start down that road, he tells us, like here in chapter 14 of John, the Gospel of John, verse 1, we'll just read a couple of verses here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus telling you, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. His disciples didn't even understand what Jesus was telling them. Because you see, they wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was only with them when God would send them out to do a certain work. They was not filled with the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost in the upper room when the Holy Spirit was sent back to mankind. There was 120 in that room. It wasn't just 12 disciples, like a lot of people want to believe. There was 120 in that room, and it says, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind and tongues of fire. And it set upon each one of them. All that was there were filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. It wasn't just 12 men. But that's also when the disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't filled with him before because Jesus had not finished paying the price. But you see, on that day of Pentecost, he had already died. He had already been resurrected. He had already ascended back to heaven. And he had sent the Holy Spirit back to be with us. The same Spirit he had while he walked on this earth. He walked in the flesh, just like you and I. He was in the flesh. But he had the Holy Spirit with him. He was filled with it. That's what was guiding him while he was here on this earth. That's where his power was coming from. Was from the Holy Spirit of God. That's why he has told us. He says, all that believe in me. That means everyone that believes in him. He said, these things I can do, they will do, and even greater than these will they do, because I go to the Father. You see, we can't do them on our own just because we want to. We have to walk in obedience unto God. If I could, my wife would have been here tonight. She wouldn't be home sick. She wouldn't be home with dementia. And I know God's going to heal her. I do know that. I don't know when. I don't know why he's waited. But he does. You see, he has a purpose for everything. I do know that a lot of her family is lost. And that may be his way of reaching them. I don't know. He hasn't told me. But he's the one that gave her to me. The first time I saw her, I wasn't looking for an old woman. I had lost a wife a year before. She went on to be with him. Young lady, 55 years old. Left me with 6 kids. And I wasn't looking for them. My oldest daughter, Cindy, which you know, and the others know too. She kept saying, "Dad, you got to get out of the house because all I was doing was going to work, coming home. Going to work, coming home." Didn't have no place I wanted to go because we'd always went as a family. I spent a lot of time sitting down here at Grayhampton at her grave. I'd tell her, no. She told me, she said, "Dad, you like to dance, go dancing." I told her, I said, "I ain't looking for no woman either. Well, you don't have to keep her, dance with her and go home." "No, I ain't looking for one." But they kept bugging me, and then she got a couple of his friends, and mine, my first wife, she got them on me. I couldn't get them off my back. I come in one Friday. They told me, "So we go to Brandenburg to the senior citizens down there. They have a dance every Friday and Saturday night. There's no drinking or nothing there allowed. Can't take nothing in there or nothing. Come go with us." I come in that Friday and I got to thinking, if I don't go, I'll never get them off of my back. That's just what I was thinking. So I got around and I called him. I told him, I said, "I'll go with you tonight." So I went Friday night, got there. I knew the guy that had the band, didn't even know he played an instrument. They had a good band. I enjoyed the music. They said, "We're going back tomorrow night. Come go back with us." "Well, I enjoyed the music. Yeah, I'll go back with you." And they called me early Saturday evening and they told me, said, "Katie, we can't go with you. We'll meet you down there. We got to stop to make on the way." I said, "Well, all right." So I got in my car and drove down. They got held up. They never did show up at night. I'm sitting at one of the big tables that holds 8 people, and I'm sitting there by myself. But I was enjoying the music, and I was watching the stage, the band. I felt something hit the back of my hand, and I turned and looked. This lady's standing there. She said, "Come on, dance with me. You ain't going to sit here by yourself." I got up and danced with her. Come back to the table, sit down. She was sitting at the table right behind me. At that table, there were 6 women and 1 man. Each one of the ladies come over and got me dance with them. I found out later there's all family. The older lady was there, and I danced with her. So the next weekend, I go back on Friday night. And I'm sitting there. They got an extra woman with them. Well, ladies are still coming getting me to dance with them. All but her. And I danced with all of them but her. She'll tell you to this day I was ignoring her. And I guess in the sense of the word I was. Wasn't doing it for that purpose. I hadn't been introduced or anything. But I got to watching her with another lady dancing. And the Spirit spoke to me and told me, said, she's yours. I told him just what I told my daughter. I ain't looking for one. He spoke again. He said, she's yours. I didn't dance with her that night. Saturday came. Went back. First song they played, I went and got her to dance with her. See what the Spirit would tell me. We danced, and when we come back, come by the table where she was sitting, she got her purse, come over and sit with me. I made a date with her for the next weekend. Going to take her to dinner. And then on back to the dance. I didn't wait. Monday I come in from work. I called her and asked her, I said, what you doing? She said, I'm sitting. We met in June. She said, I'm sitting out in the front yard under the tree in the swing. Asked her, I said, is it all right if I come down? She said, yeah, come on. So I did. I stayed until about 9:30. Went home. We sat out in the swing. Went back Tuesday. Same thing. Went back Wednesday. And I knew I had this date coming up, but we sat in our swing. She said, let's go down to Irvington to Flippy Dip, get an ice cream. Okay, so I don't know whether you can remember Flippy Dip or in Irvington or not. But anyway, it was an ice cream place. We went down and come back and we sat in the swing. I looked at her and I said, you know something? She looked at me and she said, what? I told her, I said, you better marry me and you ain't got nothing to say about it. She said, are you crazy? You ain't even kissed me. I said, well, that ain't hard to take care of. We started making wedding plans. After three evenings together. I told her, I said, now my birthday is the 9th day of September. You can be my birthday present. She said, well, I don't know whether I can get to all the plans made that quick or not. My birthday is the 4th day of October. You be my birthday present. So I gave in once again, set myself up for big trouble if I forgot a date. We got married on her birthday. So if I forget that, I forget too. Her birthday and our anniversary. I'm big trouble. We've been together now, come the 4th day of October, we've been together now 30 years. After three evenings of being together. And I wouldn't trade her for nothing. But God gave her to me. I know that one day he's going to give her back to me. I just don't know when. But I walk in his word. And I learned patience. I learned to wait on him. Not him wait on me. Me wait on him. I don't close these doors. I haven't missed a service through all this pandemic. I didn't shut my doors. I didn't tell people don't come to church because they said we had to be closed. And I told Wimpy, same thing. I told Wimpy, I ain't closing my church doors. He said, you know you can be fined and put in jail? I told him, I said, well, that's the thing for you to do. Go ahead and fine me. Then you can put me in jail because I ain't going to pay the fine either because you nor the state or our government has no authority to close that church door or to tell me what I can do in church and what I can't do. He told me, I said, it's in the Constitution and the First Amendment. You don't have that kind of authority. He looked at me, he said, you just mean enough to do it too, ain't you? I told him, I said, try me and see. I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. You put me in jail, you're going to give me a congregation that can't get away from me. He ain't been out here to shut my doors. And then it snows, I ain't been closed. I ain't missed a service. And ain't going to. The only way I'll miss one, I'll be in jail. But when he does, he can expect to be in court too. Because that's where I'll put him. Because he don't have that authority. And that is truth. It is in our Constitution that even our United States government has no authority to tell the church anything. And these preachers that's running around with a mask on, closing their church doors, are backslidden preachers. That's exactly what they are. We're told in God's word not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Why? Because we are here to help people. And Brother James, you know I'll help anybody I can at any time. If I've got what they need, you know they're welcome to it. I've helped several right since I've been right here. And we've had a few healings, ain't we? Because God is good. And he's good all the time. Not part of the time, but all the time. But you have to belong to him. And with that, I'm going to close. Before I get long-winded. No, I don't put no time limit on my services. When the Holy Spirit's done, I'm done. Because he's one to do his preaching anyway. I may tell you a story, but he's one who's going to teach you the word. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we close your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place that we can come and come together to study your word, Father, and to support each other and to help each other, Father, to reach out to a community. We pray, Father, that each one of us can find someone else to bring to church, to build this church back, Father, to what it should be, according to your will and your way, not mine, but your will and your way, and at your time. Now, Father, for the saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more so, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, for this land of ours, we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will help us to remove those from office that is against the church, that is against the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that he'll help us to put people in that will stand for the church and for Jesus and help us to lead this nation to repentance, to repent of the evil it has brought upon its people, and put Jesus back in every place they have taken him out of, Father, and that one day we'll be able to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch that one, fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Tom's friend Dennis and family in Oklahoma, Tom's wife Amy, Amy's friend Sue, and Sue's family in Texas, for Tom and Amy's young son Jacob, father of this young man. Use him among the young people there in Texas in a mighty and great way. Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, his wife Tina, the Brothers in Christ of Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls of the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. For this young man, William, Father, that has been ordained into the ministry, we pray that the Holy Spirit has been his teacher and that he's the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. For that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, we pray not only that it be a lighthouse, but a place of refuge to where those that are walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my young pastor friend in Pakistan, Maroon Islam, Father, keep him safe, keep him in health as he travels those countries there with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Brother Brett Mishai, Father, keep him safe as he travels those foreign countries, because we know that both work, Father, in a place to where if they're caught will mean jail and can even be death. Now, Father, for the Lee family, for the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, for my family, and for each family that will hear this message, and for Brother James, for Sister B, and Father, for Karen, and for all. Father, all that is in need of a healing touch, touch them with thy healing hand in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray this, we ask this, always lifting up the name of our Lord and Savior with praise, honor, and glory, that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, everyone, remember, come Thursday night, God willing, we can all be together again at 6 p.m. Eastern time and back into his word. And, you know, we're going through the Old Testament again. We're in the book of Genesis. And so come Thursday, I'll be back in that book going on from where we left off today. Now, have a great night. Hold on to the hand of the Lord God. He'll hold on to you. So until then, good night, all.